This week marks the 125th birthday of one of the most iconic structures in the world, the Eiffel Tower. It's about 1,000 feet tall, about twice as tall as the replica in Las Vegas, and construction wrapped up on March 31st, 1889. That's 125 years ago this week. The Eiffel Tower stood as the tallest man-made structure in the world for 41 years until the construction of the Chrysler Building in New York in 1930. Joseph Harris is author of The Tallest Tower, Eiffel, and the Belle Epoque. He is the Paris correspondent for the American Spectator, and he joins us from the BBC studios in Paris right now. Joseph Harris, welcome to Here and Now.
Glad to be here.
Well, there was a big celebration 5 years ago when the tower marked its 120th birthday. How are Parisians marking this one?
Parisians are known for being pretty blasé, and I think that applies this week. You've probably heard that there's been a couple of weeks of important elections, and that has taken up all the media space, so that there has been no visible celebration of this anniversary.
Okay, well, let's talk about the history of this tower. As we said, it was completed in 1889. Why was it built in the first place?
It was built to be the centerpiece of the 1889 World's Fair in Paris. The date was not chosen just by chance, because 1889, you can imagine, was the centenary of the French Revolution in 1789. They decided to mark that anniversary by having a great World's Fair. And to mark the World's Fair, they wanted a 1,000-foot tower.
And at the time, the tallest structure in the world, I believe, was the Washington Monument, right?
That probably would have been it at 555 feet.
So why did they want it to be 1,000 feet?
That's an interesting question. The 1,000-foot tower was an idea that had been in the air for at least 50 years. The 19th century was the great period of engineering, thanks to the railways, thanks to lots of discoveries in metallurgy. And so beginning in the 1830s, engineers decided they would like to do a 1,000-foot tower. It was just one of those things. It became, in a way, the man to the moon project of the late 19th century. And so it turned out that Eiffel was the first one to do it.
Well, tell us a little bit about him, Gustave Eiffel. Who was he, and why was he the man put in charge of getting this tower built?
Gustave Eiffel was born in Dijon, where they make the mustard, and he had a career as an engineer building railway bridges. He built the highest bridge in the world down in central France. It was about 400 feet above a canyon. He went on from France to build bridges all over the world. And with these bridges, which were often very high, he had to worry about the wind factor. And wind would be a problem with a 1,000-foot tower. And that's why he decided to make it a bit the way he had been making his bridges, with wrought iron girders, which would let the wind pass through.
And the original idea was that this tower would be able to withstand the kinds of winds that never happen in Paris.
Right. Yeah, he built in a big safety factor. And he did all this, of course, without the aid of computers, just with pencil and paper. Mm.
How long did it take to build?
It took almost exactly 2 years. It began in January 1887 and finished, as you say, in March of 1889.
We're speaking with Joseph Harris, the author of The Tallest Tower, Eiffel, and the Belle Epoque, and this is Here and Now. And Joseph, this tower was not supposed to stay up for very long.
You're right. The French were of two minds about this tower to start with. The literary and artistic community was very unhappy about it. They found it ugly. They found it a scar on the face of Paris. So they wanted it taken down after 20 years. And that was one of the advantages of having an iron tower that could be unbolted after 20 years and taken down if need be.
So what changed?
Eiffel found ways of making it useful. He started conducting experiments on the resistance of objects moving through the air. He started this by simply dropping objects from the center of his tower to the ground and measuring the time it took to get to the ground. Then he built a wind tunnel at the base of the tower and started doing aeronautical experiments with scale model aircraft. That was one utility for the tower. Another became a little early in the 20th century when radio was just getting going, and he turned that into a radio antenna that became very useful to the French army. For example, during World War I, they were able to intercept German messages that gave away the position of German troops. So these were things that made the Eiffel Tower useful, and so they decided to keep it after all.
And it was used in that way during World War II as well. Let's listen to a little sound from a documentary called The History of the Eiffel Tower right here.
Ironically, the silhouette of the tower against the Paris skyline offered hope to the free French underground.
It was a symbol of liberty, a symbol of France. Under the occupation, the idea predominated among all the French to know that one day one would be free to climb up the Eiffel Tower.
When Allied troops finally liberated Paris, this handful of free Frenchmen celebrated by climbing the Eiffel Tower and unfurling the French tricolor flag. Down below, citizens spat and cursed at the fleeing Germans. But from the pinnacle of the tower, liberty, equality, and fraternity reclaimed its mantle of glory.
Joseph Harris, tell us about the role the Eiffel Tower played in World War II.
After the occupation of Paris, Hitler visited Paris, which, of course, was a great jewel for him, and he wanted to go up on the Eiffel Tower and gaze down upon the city of Paris, which he'd conquered. For some reason, the elevators mysteriously stopped working that day. Some people say it might have had to do with the French resistance. So he couldn't go up. Finally, he had to do with going across the river to the Trocadero, and he had himself photographed with the Eiffel Tower behind him.
And what was the significance of that?
Well, for him, he used that picture of him standing in front of the Eiffel Tower as part of his propaganda.
And we've got a photo of that. We can put it up at hereandnow.org. Joseph, what does the Eiffel Tower mean to you after all these years of studying it and writing a book about it?
Well, to me, it represents one of the high points in modern human history. It represents the way that part of the human race felt about itself at a particular point in its time. People believed in progress. Progress seemed to be almost infinite at that point. And people just wanted to throw up a 1,000-foot tower and admire it. And to me, that's what it represents, is the great pride, the hubris, and even the joie de vivre of people in the late 19th century, which, of course, was known as the Belle Époque.
Well, it is a beautiful tower to look at and kind of fun to climb. Have you ever been up the stairs?
I must admit, I've never climbed the stairs. I'm an elevator man myself.
All right. Well, it's quite a stairmaster, that Eiffel Tower. Joseph Harris, Paris correspondent for the American Spectator, author of The Tallest Tower, Eiffel and the Belle Epoque. Thanks so much for joining us.
Okay. Glad to be here.
C'est ici et maintenant.
Very good.